Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
But also with us this morning is the one and only Derek Grice.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen, amen. We can't wait to tell you all the things that are going on. We give a shout out this morning to Adam Narvaez. Yes, we're going to be talking about your security at the father and son sleeping camping trip.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what it was. 10-4, we're coming around the corner now. Give a shout out this morning to Pastor Willie Grayson, a.k.a. Reverend Jeep. We're going to be a shout out this morning. We were hoping to be able to get your song this morning. We got so many things we're going to be talking about. We're going to give a shout out this morning to Joanne. Joanne, we are getting your blessings, and we are encouraged to continue the work. Thank you, New York. Morning, 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 morning. Play that song, Pat. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And we have the one and only Derek Grice.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all
it that is within me.
We're so glad to have you with us today.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Well, you know, we got so much history, and I know a lot of our listeners are really encouraged to be knowing you're going to be joining us today, and those that have not yet met the Derek Grice. Today is your day. The Derek Grice. And we're just excited about having you here. And amazing. And so what's been going on, Derek?
Nothing but Jesus. Family man, you know, just loving my kids, loving my wife.
Family man.
Isn't that awesome?
Derek.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to give a little background here. You know, Derek was part of what we were doing for the Lord at the Next Step annual Fathers and Sons camping trips, and we were blessed with his presence, and God blessed us with each other, and then God's presence, and just melted us together in the wilderness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Father's heart, huh?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Isn't it?
You know, I mean, ever since, you know, I've known you, every time I've always considered, you know, family in my mind, you know, I always think to closeness, you know, and that's what I got on that trip, you know, because the way I came up,
right?
You know,
how was that? There's a lot of people that came up, that are coming up and came up, like you came up. Can you share with them what that is and the paradigm, how God can rock that world?
Yeah, you know, my background is pretty much common. You know, my father, he really wasn't around, and my mom's, you know, she pretty much raised me and my brothers and sisters. So, you know, that closeness, that affection that people long for, that validation, mm-hmm. It really wasn't that.
Right.
You know, so when I finally came to a place where the Father encountered me, mm-hmm. you know, that's when I really began to understand that love is not so, how should we put it, so dry,
right.
So played out, you know, so repetitious. You know, our definition of love is like a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You do for me, I do for you.
That's right.
You know, but God's love is complete opposite.
Right.
You know, it's unconditional. There's mm-hmm. no terms, there's no conditions to what he'll do or what lengths he'll go to get you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I encountered. Right. You know, and family, love, you know, that's right. What I miss.
Right. Isn't that awesome? We're in the wilderness, and most of us are not campers, but yet we were in the wilderness just camping.
Yeah.
Thank God for air mattresses for the years we did have them. I remember John sleeping on a root.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought, did you ever think about moving your sleeping bag? he slept on a root all night long. Remember that?
Yeah.
Wow. That was amazing. So hopefully now he's in Pennsylvania right now.
Hopefully he has an air mattress now.
Yeah, he does. I saw it in the picture. He was loaded up with gear. And so you remember those days with just hundreds and hundreds of boys and fathers and just the father's heart and how powerful those days were.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody to touch me.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I was just so guarded,
right.
You know, because first of all, you know, my mom, she made me go, you know, me and my best friend at the time, you know, we got called, you know, in trouble and just bat talking and just But, you know, just the entire environment, man, it was all love. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. It's hard. It's hard for men to grasp that concept of love,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when your father's not there, you mm-hmm. know, who really is there to validate you as a man?
That's right.
You know, mama can't validate you as a man like the father can.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a father that's present, mm-hmm. he said, hey, your tie's crooked.
That's right.
Straighten your back.
That's right.
Make sure you take out the trash.
That's right.
You know, you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, things like this. Yeah. You know, I mean, that common, but when God validates us,
mm-hmm.
you know, it means so much more.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. when you're strong, you're mighty.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I love you.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're doing a good job. Press on. Keep on. These are the things that we look to hear, you know, in the natural and in
mm-hmm.
God. In God, this is all we need.
Right.
The validation of the Father. Mm-hmm. His word means so much. When the Father says it, it's official. You know, it's kind of like co-signing, you know?
Right.
I mean, when he signs on, it's official. You have it. It's yours. Take it off the lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I like that.
That's good.
Well, you know, I think about, you know, that's, you can see why the father's role is such under attack from every angle, because he represents, he's kind of a representation of, if it's healthy, you know, what a father should do. And so the enemy's attacked all that concept, and all of a sudden fathers are considered insignificant, and all of a sudden all we have is teachers.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more irritating than somebody that keeps teaching you but doesn't care about you.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? He says we have 10,000 people that are telling you what to do. They're not going to help you do it. Right? 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. Then he says, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, what we're seeing and we're believing, he says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, that the fathers and the Lord are going to rise up. You know, men, boys will be fathers one day.
Amen.
But they need to be fathered so that they can have a paradigm, a grid, so when they know how to do it, you know what I'm saying? They just imitate. They're the double portion of what was poured into them. They got what their father gave them. But then they got what God gave them directly, so they got those two aspects of it. It's like a double portion. It's supposed to get better, not worse, as things go on.
It's just like, you know, the men of the house of Israel in Joshua's generation. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't really understand the seriousness of how Jericho was taken.
Right.
They couldn't fight that.
Right.
There was no way, because God had to give them what they didn't get as children.
Yes.
They had to get circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're walking around, you can imagine,
right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
gruesome.
Right.
You know, but these are the things that we're missing.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, in order for God to take us to that next level,
mm-hmm.
we got to get what we didn't have.
Right.
So nobody wants to be father. Everybody wants to be fed.
Right. And nobody wants to be spiritually circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So you have both of them. You have two aspects of individuals saying, you know, I don't want to be dealt with in my flesh. Mm-hmm. And then you have somebody else who's supposed to deal with somebody because it's selfless. You know, fathering is a one-way street quite often. You know, it's down the road where you see the benefits of fathering. Because believe it or not, when you're speaking into spiritual children and even your natural children, it takes a while for them to realize they're not the center of the universe and that planets don't revolve around them. You know, so we're like little planets that orbit around them for a certain point, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're the center of the world until they get in it and they realize, oh, my goodness, all that stuff you taught me. He says, train your children in the way they should go. And when they get old, you just don't getting old is a different definition for everybody. It's like, well, maybe they're going to be old enough next week.
You're right.
Yeah. You know? And so you got two aspects of, the fathers. Because remember, when we had thousands of boys wanting to go to the wilderness.
Yeah.
But our difficulty was trying to find a man. Mm-hmm. We had millionaires in our cities. We had business owners in our cities. We had people that stood behind pulpits that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in our cities. We had people who said they cared in our cities. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it boiled down to, and we shouted prophetically so loud, and I was everywhere. We had so many signage, so many media, so much things going on that the governor calls me to his mansion. That's how much stuff we put out, because we were crying out, going, listen, turn your hearts to the children.
Yeah.
You turn your hearts, and this is what I said. If you don't turn your hearts to the children, they're going to turn their guns to you.
That's right.
Didn't I say it?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And so don't be complaining about a gun pointing your way if you never turn your heart towards somebody. Because if you don't speak in his life today, he may be climbing in your window tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even know your life. You created a whole aspect of envy, and like you had something and he didn't have it, and the enemy messed with that. And now, all of a sudden, you set yourself up, or the enemy made you an adversary in their life because you didn't care. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I remember. We're in New Orleans, we were doing
thing with those guys, yeah.
And they're doing a dance on the street, and they're saying different things. They listen, they put a bucket or a hat out for people doing. They're very good. Mm-hmm. They're doing. They said you can either give money to us now, or we'll go to your houses and take it. And they made thousands of dollars tonight. They were joking. I went, ha, 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 ha. We're like, here's a 20, man. Here's a 20.
Here you go.
But they were very good. They were dancing and doing acrobats, and it was just really good entertainment. And mm-hmm. They had probably several hundred people that stop and watch them at a time. But but the sad thing is about it, Derek, that many, it was so hard. I remember some boys from... Lexington Terrace, Lexington.
That sounds all right.
No, on
where's it at?
In Warrenton, right next to Lexington Terrace.
Okay.
And
Warrenton Village?
No, Warrenton. Anyway, I just love them. Roderick and the crews there. I just love them.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find men. I'm talking. I'm looking in the face. Listen, man. It's just. One
weekend,
which is equivalent to what?
48 hours,
which is equivalent if the average father spends about 13 seconds a day of undivided attention with his children, so it's equal to like 25 years or something, I would say. And it helps the kid get a paradigm of what it's like to have a man around for a little bit. And we couldn't get enough mentors. And they wanted to come tell us what to do, but they just wouldn't come be with the son. And many did. But many didn't. And the ones that did had scarred lives. The ones who wanted to but couldn't had scarred lives because they didn't have a father in their life. And so they understand they wanted to be able to come out and help.
Yeah.
But once we pulled the rap sheet out, because we had to do background checks because of what was going on. And even though they probably would have been a real perfect mentor because they suffered in their life for not having that person in their life, we couldn't do that. And so we had four young boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four caught a cab from I don't know where it was. No, Warrenton.
Probably Marino Court.
Oh yeah,
Marino Courts.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, Marino Courts, and they caught a cab themselves. How old? Maybe.
Well, they were young. I mean, from 9 to 13. Maybe.
9 to 13, and they convinced the cab driver to take them at that age. All the way out to where we're having it in the wilderness. And they show up, and they're going, we're here. And because so many years they came, but the men who were willing to stand in the gap got fewer and fewer, and there was no mentors.
Mm-mm.
There was no mentors for them. And it's sort of like your son's being rejected. You're looking like, oh, my goodness, what do you do, And I think several I can't name names now, but I could if I could think about it. I know he's on our Facebooks. But he said, I'll take them. And so they took two boys each, and they spent time with them. He was a real cold dude. I wish I could tell you, give him the credit for that. But it was just amazing that when the hearts did turn and we all went to the wilderness together, Father God showed up and just blessed us, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was powerful. I mean,
the end. the entire experience, man, it really taught me just how deep, man, forgiveness really runs. You know, because for the longest, you know, I never knew that all the bitterness that I carried, you know, as a preteen, you know, was from just not having them around. Mm-hmm. I never knew how deep that really ran, that, you know, I got used to him not being around. My father, he wasn't a bad dude.
Right.
He showed up, you know, whenever, you know, he felt he needed to, but, you know, it's just, I got used to him not being around.
Right.
You know, so, you know, anything that would try to, you know, stand in that gap or stand in that place, you know, and do what he was supposed to be doing.
Mm.
There was a huge wall up.
Right.
You know, whether it was a woman or as a man, if you weren't mama, I wouldn't hear you.
Right.
You know, that's just how I operated.
Right.
But forgiveness, man, it just poured through me once I really just encountered the Father, man.
Right.
You know, I mean, I remember that day like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess we had the prayer tunnel, the tunnel of tears, what you call it.
Yeah. Well, let me describe it to everybody so you can think about it. We have, first of all, the fathers and the father figures would stand in front of the boys in maybe 8,000 square foot tent in the wilderness, and the boys were all sitting in their chairs, and the fathers would stand up and face the boys after hearing about forgiveness and the importance of the father, and that we needed to ask our sons to forgive us for not being the father that we should have been in their life. Whether that father figure was their father or not, that boy needed to understand that and needed to give forgiveness, so they kind of stood in the gap even for their fathers. And a lot of fathers that were there that got forgiveness as well. And they would say, would you forgive me for not being the father that you needed in your life? And how quick, those boys were so quick. Mm-hmm. They just go, I forgive you. But they needed that connection for that release.
Yeah.
And then the men, the father figures of all different ethnic groups and socioeconomic groups, but everybody was in sweat, so we were all the same. It was beautiful, wasn't it? The tunnel, oh, it was just beautiful.
I mean, you know, in that moment, you know, I see y'all. Yeah, I feel something in the corner of my eye already.
Just, oh my goodness, I see it. Just
in that moment, you know, almost, you know, 13, 14 years of, you know, nothing was being made up for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Let me describe the tunnel more so they end up, okay, now after the men repented or stood in the gap and just said, would you forgive me for not being the father? They formed a tunnel, men on both sides. You know, and imagine the boys walking between two men. Now imagine a whole bunch of men shoulder to shoulder on both sides. So they got basically a tunnel made of men.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. It's just every shape, every size, every ethnic group, every economic group. I mean, all of your mindsets and stereotypes were broken because you found that every one of them loves you.
Yeah.
And they're cool. Okay, now talk about your experience. You're going to be, what's it like for you? Now they're seeing you walk down this tunnel and you're seeing all this, I mean, long, long tunnel of diverse men.
I know I was, I don't know how many men could have been there that year. It was my first year.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I came down there, you know, just I knew it had to be God for so many men, you know, to tell me things like, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Simple things, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. You're going to do well. God loves you. God loves you. You know, God's here for you. God's, I mean, just there wasn't religious things. It wasn't, you know, I knew it wasn't lies. I knew it had to be from the Father for somebody to not even know me from a can of paint, you know, to say exactly what I needed in that time. But I mean, as I was going, every single guy in that tunnel was just praying for me, laying hands on me, hugging me. And I just felt just the Spirit of Christ just fall on me, just break me.
Powerful,
you know,
before
I even got to the end of the tunnel, I couldn't see a thing.
Yeah,
my eyes were bloodshot red from crying.
I remember.
Because I knew that was my release in the Spirit, you know. And what's funny, I never told you this, but, you know, after that encounter, I went back to my home church and I told them what God did for me. Because I knew it was real.
Right.
I knew I was filled with the Spirit of God.
Awesome.
You know, and my local pastor, he almost resented me for it.
Right.
But yeah, I know him. I know him.
Right.
Yeah, I know about that church. Yeah,
right.
I know about those people.
Right.
I'm like, but look what God did.
God. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had already, you know, been a part of a church at that right. time for a whole entire year.
Which
you
is
know?
More like a traditional, we call a traditional expression of a church at that time, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the word was being preached. Mm-hmm. I was involved, you know, singing mm-hmm. in the choir, you know, active in the youth group mm-hmm. and, you know, just excelling and all these other things. But I wasn't filled.
Yeah. You were broken. You know? You were broken. You needed to be healed. Yeah.
And you know, that it was that whole entire experience, man, it was more than just, you know, a camping trip. Oh, but yeah. this was to me, what I seen in the spirit, it mm-hmm. was almost a rebirthing of a mm-hmm. generation, man, mm-hmm. right here in Pensacola, Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, because we have such a reputation especially at that time for, you know, a high crime rate.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people being sent off for simple things, stupid mm-hmm. things, or whatever you call it. But mm-hmm. man, there was so many lives that I still see today that was transformed
mm-hmm. yeah.
from that. But I know that what I felt, you know, that night, it can't be compared to anything else that I've ever experienced in my walk with Christ mm-hmm. because it was the genuine, true yeah. Spirit of God really mm-hmm. entering into my heart mm-hmm. and cleaning up and taking mm-hmm. residence, mm-hmm. taking residence in me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and,
And you may remember, it was just God took over. He yeah. just took once repentance went forth, and once it was given, it was like a whirlwind
yeah.
of God. It was more like a pressurized chamber. No, it was like a weightiness. It was all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just undeniable awe, and everybody was in tears and overtaken. Our hearts just melted in God's presence, and God began to show all of us, not just sons, but fathers, that this relationship between a father and a father figure and a son is of God.
Yeah.
It's of God, and things are going to be dysfunctional without it, but we can get healed.
Mm-hmm.
We can get healed from that. And there's some people listening right now. And what happens is, you know, after a while, you know, you try, every kid tries to have a relationship with their father. You could be have a good father, but he's not present.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot harder to be present than just to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being present requires your death. You have to actually want your children to do better than you.
Yeah.
You're willing to lay down your life for the next generation. You want them to do better. You're never competitive with a son. If you're competitive with what you call a son, you're a teacher. You're not a father, because a father would want their sons to do better, and they would point at him and her or the spiritual door, and they go, look at them. Oh my goodness, that's mm-hmm. my boy. You know, I mean, that's the yeah. kind of feeling the father would have. That's the kind of feeling Father God has about us. And maybe you're listening right now, you know, and you can relate to what Derek's saying, and maybe this is you. And I don't care if you're 8, or if you're 15, or if you're 30, or you're 50, you cannot skip this. You mm-hmm. cannot skip getting healed in that area of your life. You're not going to be full. You're not going to be able to function, you know, as a father. And we love our mothers, and they've done a wonderful job. And in the absence of the fathers, the mothers have taken on the role, absent for whatever reason. The mothers have taken on a role. But a mother cannot teach a man to be a man, and a man cannot teach a woman to be a woman. It's going to take somebody, you know, that is that. To mm-hmm. be able to do that, and if that's you right now, I want to encourage you. You know, contact us. Contact us at VFN Radio. You can go to VFNTV.com, and there's a contact area, and just get us your information. Also, you know, just like Derek met the Father, mm-hmm. you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and we'll share with you a couple of our stories, just like Derek shared his. But listen, the whole purpose of Jesus's ministry was to make the Father known.
Yeah.
We're making a lot of stuff known today, but I'm tired of hearing about it, so I know God's got to be tired of hearing about it. We're supposed to make the Father known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's our whole ministry, is the Father's heart, to make him known. You can do that at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. We'll be right back.
Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John, on the VFN TV blog.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog, and you can get the title. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there. Yeah.
And subtitle.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when you
don't,
when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say, it was me, my hard work, or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because you know you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell. And we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I says, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.A. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.A. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. I can see it. It's pretty cool. It's on the blog. It's on the VFNTV blog. It says, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, think about it. You know, he's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is, but we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer, and I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season. This is your time. God's putting you on a platform, you know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him. But I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She was like, oh my goodness. You know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. I'm pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us, and it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. Think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people, they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But Lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The churches across the world, every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, or Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and Derek Grice. We were talking beforehand about the next step, Annual Father Sons Camp and Trips, but I do want to say in a hurry, as we're moving along, because we got so much we want to talk about. Believe it or not, we're already past the first half hour. I just flies, done it? It's amazing. I want to talk about the top five on the VFN TV blog. You know, over 6,000 people visited the VFN TV blog last month. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to see all the things that are taking place. You can get to the VFN TV blog at vfntv.com and click on blog. But again, the top five still is don't let poverty rob you. Four house churches start an inner city school, and two house churches give $1 million to missions in 1 year. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
And another, this is a new one. The third is, will they put us in jail? The health care law. You got to hear this, that now they can put, they can. With the new law that's passed, if you don't buy the health care insurance, they can seize your checking account, they can seize your property, and they can put you in jail. You can find out about the VFN TV blog. It's called Will They Put Us in Jail? The health care law. You need to hear that.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like life's hard enough. Mm-hmm. Now I got to go buy aspirin for everybody. Okay. Then the next one is buying the image of hard work. You know, this $400 pair of raggedy jeans that people buy, they pay $400 for it. Find out the story behind that. They're digging up people's jeans that used to work, and there used to be a thing called work in life.
Yeah.
And they're finding out, there's a bend where the knee was. That must have been their bending down to work. Let's duplicate that in our jeans, and we could sell them like an image of work. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? $400. $400. And the last one is, how do you spend your day? It's a study by the Labor Department talking about the average worker. You know, what do you do with your day? And, you know, how much do you spend in sleep? How much do you spend in work? I mean, it's like 2.8 hours of sports and leisure. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's like, man, that is really something.
Wow.
And, you know, our VFN TV audience and VFN radio audience is all around, you know, Alaska, the United States, and the world, but they're all coming in. But over 6,000 viewers are coming in our VFN TV blog. So you don't want to miss it. That is the top five for today on the VFN TV blog. If you didn't yet see it, we have, and we're going to be talking about in a moment about how the UN is responsible in the extra hour. They are potentially responsible for the entire cholera outbreak in Haiti. And we're going to be talking about that, and it'll be available on the VFN TV blog. But also, you got a picture. There's a picture of me that's been put up on the VFN TV blog when I was a sailor, because we talked about, remember?
Is that who that young whippersnapper was?
That was a young whippersnapper. And we were on the USS Intrepid, and the Good Housekeeping magazine wanted to do a photo shoot, and so they came to our ship in Brooklyn, where we're in dry dock, and they asked for several of us to come, and myself and one of our officers and one of my fellow sailors, you know, we went, and they had all these beautiful models, and then us, so we were like backdrop. Yeah.
And so we were on the USS Intrepid in New York. We give a shout out to New York this morning. And you can see that on the VFN TV blog. And there's another one that was put up yesterday, just so you know about it, is, you know, we can't be stupid. That's actually a word. That's a prophetic word. It's actually a Proverbs. Proverbs 12:1. It says, don't be stupid. Yeah. So you got to check that out. I mean, God's word is saying, don't be stupid, as well as two 10-year-old boys hearing for the Lord. Maybe we'll talk more about that as well. But we want to go right into the wisdom moment. You know, we talk every single day. We talk about the wisdom moment from Proverbs. We need wisdom. What you're seeing today in the streets and in leadership is people that are very knowledgeable. But if you look around, you go, why are they doing it that way? You understand they have knowledge with no wisdom, because wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And so what we do is we pick a corresponding chapter in Proverbs, since Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ, right? He asked for wisdom. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Today's the 13th, so we're going to talk about Proverbs 13:10. And it reads, pride. Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness, right? Pride only, think about that, only.
Mm-hmm.
Pride only breeds arguments. It only breeds quarrels. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Mm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that. You think about it. You know, with the prideful, everything is an argument.
Yeah.
You know, I just said pass the salt. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, everything is an argument. Every instruction to the prideful is taken as offense. It's taken as offense. Every correction or suggestion places them in a defensive posture, and they are constantly in the defensive mode, you know? And seldom are they arguing about what seems to be on the surface of the topic or the issue at hand. It's a deeper thing inside of them. They're arguing because they feel like they've been told they're wrong, and they're not comfortable. A person who has a spirit of pride, somebody who's prideful, they're not comfortable with being wrong. And it's like, it's tiresome to talk to somebody who doesn't understand that we can all be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, everybody's wrong. Everybody's fallen short of the glory, and we all need Jesus. So if you ever think you can't be wrong, that's the biggest wrong you can be.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's like contention and all. And so whatever the wounding is, whatever the situation, whatever the justification that maybe the adversary's convinced you that it's okay for you to be prideful, understand you stand before the throne of God without any witnesses or suspects. You stand alone, and you have to be there, and you have to answer why you chose not to humble yourself, and you continue to be prideful. You weren't willing to take advice. And advice is good. It goes on to say, it says, you know, pride only breeds arguments. It's interesting, it only breeds arguments. If you're always in an argument with somebody, you got to check yourself. If there's one person or several people, but if you're always in an argument, you first have to ask yourself, am I struggling with pride? Because maybe, you know, maybe it's me. All these people, they're just all arguing. It's like, everybody? Even these people don't know each other? It's like, aren't you the common denominator in all those relationships? I don't know what's wrong with that store clerk, and I don't know what's wrong with so-and-so. I don't know what's wrong with... Hey, there's one common factor in all those encounters, you. Right? And we can humble ourselves. And then it says, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Mm-hmm. Listen, a wise person knows they can be wrong. They're open to hearing potential possibilities.
That's it.
I mean, they're not insecure to the point that they're not thinking you're directing their life. You're just giving them some ideas and concept and information, because there's wisdom and a multitude of counsel, and they know that the buck stops with them. They have to stand alone before the throne of God. And so a wise person says, thank you for helping me. Even if you don't take it, it's like, thank you for the perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for giving dimension to my reality. You know, we can be shallow in how we're looking at things, or we can get tunnel vision, you know, and it's important to move amongst the people. If you're a Christian, that you're talking about and ministering to, so you don't get twisted in your perspective, you know, and you hear from them. So a wise person wants counsel. They don't want, you know, they feel very uncomfortable if they're not getting viewpoints about what's going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so If you're tired of arguing, if you're worn out, if you can't afford the therapy, repent. Repent. You know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, I remember one time in my life where I was, trying to discover, you know, God was teaching me about pride, and the more he talked to me about pride and was revealing it to me, I'm thinking, you know, it's everywhere. It's in all of our lives. How do we get rid of this pride? And the Lord just spoke to me plain as day. He said, don't look for pride. Look for humility. And if you don't see humility, you're looking at pride. Because the definition is humility is the opposite of pride. It's the opposite. And the definition of humility is total dependency on God and respect for other people. We think about it. Jesus entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He wasn't concerned about other people. And he was so in tune with who he was with the Father that he knelt down. He says, because my Father told me who I am, I'm about to wash your feet. See, the reason why you can't humble yourself and wash somebody's feet is because nobody's told you who you are yet. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking you're lowering your identity. You're lowering who you are as a person by serving someone. Listen, you got to deal with that because God resists the proud. You got to deal with that because God resists the proud. You should be serving people. Jesus took an apron, wrapped it around his waist, and he served the disciples. He served. Not only did he serve them when he broke the bread and he washed their feet, and he says, go and do likewise, but he also served them again. And he said also when we get to heaven, he's going to be serving us. Listen, it's a relationship. It's not an organization. You know, it's not a board of directors. It's family. It's your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. Why would you not want to serve your brother? Why do you not want to listen to what they say? Of course, if it's a fool that continues to be foolish in their sense, you're not worried about hearing from them because they're not going to, you understand that, and you're just going to listen to them, and maybe you'll get a chance to be able to speak in their life, but you don't just shut them down. You try to help, kind of turn them into a less, you know, area like that. And so I want to encourage you this morning, because we need wisdom. We need it really bad. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. And when you'll see things going wrong, what happens is you'll see somebody locked down and quit listening. They'll quit listening to God, and they'll quit listening to the wisdom of a multitude of counsel. And or they just listen to one area. You know what I'm saying? If you want to be different, if you want to do what God has called you to do, don't go back to what he delivered you from to get wisdom from that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I went back to the old wineskin to find out how the new wine should be. What'd they say? Stop it! There's no such thing as new wine. God never does anything new. I mean, obviously, you're casting your pearls before swine, and they're going to crush you. They're going to crush. Jesus said, if you cast your pearls before swine, what will they do back? They'll crush them.
That's right.
They'll stomp them in the mud. So don't be upset because your pearls got crushed and they got stomped in the mud, because Jesus said, you know, don't do that. You know, talk forward. When God's doing a new thing, speak in the context of the new thing and honor what was, because that's God on the way to what God's doing in this new wind that's blowing across the land. God has a plan. He hasn't given up on us. He can redeem the years the locusts had devoured, but we've got to get rid of the pride in our life. We've got to humble ourselves. Fall to our knees. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. He's not going to hear us with pride. And then, you know, you got a lot of things people say, you got to pray, got to pray. The country's going, got to pray. No, you got to humble yourself. And a humble man just prays because he's dependent on God. A humble man, a humble woman, you don't have to tell them to pray. They're always, all the time they're going, oh my God, help me. They understand they're desperate. Reality of the need they have for God. A humble person don't have to be told to pray. A prideful person does. Because a humble person, the definition is total dependency on God and respect for other people. A humble person doesn't have to be told to abide. If they miss their abiding time with God, they know they missed it and they're looking for another opportunity to do it. Only a prideful person has to be told, oh yeah, don't forget to read your 2 chapters and, you know, memorize some scriptures so you can tell people you know something. But a humble person is just desperately going after God. Listen, God loves the humble. He gives grace. Grace means this. When everything's messing up and you made huge mistakes like David did, that he gives grace to you. He gets you through that. It's not that you're perfect. It's that you're humble. You're humble. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and he will lift you up in due season. Today's moment of wisdom is Proverbs 13:10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. well, you know, I want to get back and we want to talk about Derek, about some things that are realities that quite often people just brush over. And to my amazement, I guess I'll talk more about it as you share, but just kind of share, you know, about an experience that you were sharing with me. And I know it to be many experiences, but this is your experience, and many people are going to relate to this. I want you to listen to Derek when he begins to talk about this. We're not going to name anything specifically, but we're going to talk about, you know, the incident, you know, and what happened. Tell us what happened with that.
Well, you know, I'm pretty, well, I consider myself pretty faithful in
your local church.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I just want Jesus. You know, that's just, that's my heart. You know, that's what I come to the house for. That's what I fellowship for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to draw closer to Him and stay closer to the vine. And you know, I've had numerous encounters that would, you know, I don't know how to put it, but you know, it would turn the babe in Christ, you know what I'm saying, to just go back where you came from.
Many have been turned because of that.
Yeah.
Many have been turned.
I mean, you know, part of my testimony, you know, of where I am now today is, you know, when I was, you know, when I was 17, you know, is when I had my son, you know, and part of my youth group at that time for, you know, maybe about a year, 2 years, you know, and my connection to Jesus, it was strong. You know, I pray, you know, 3 and 4 hours at a time when I'm at home, but you know, when I'm amongst, you know, other believers and, you know, it's time for the other part of fellowship, you know, the family,
mm-hmm.
You know, they, it was so, so vague, you know, it was so faint, you know.
It wasn't family.
No, you know.
The words were there, but the content.
And I felt like, you know, a part of me was being turned away because it never went past the four walls. It never went past what went on, what took place that night. You know, it was, you know, oh, good to see you. Yeah. Oh, praise Jesus. Oh, we're at the church. Oh, it's exciting. And then once it's done, mm-hmm. Okay, well, go over here. You know what I'm saying? We'll see you later.
That's the here, right?
Yeah.
I'm so good. I heard that. We're going to come out next week and hear it again.
But, you know, at this point in time in my life, you know, I believe it was a fragile point. You know, but I stuck with God. You know, you pastor looked me square in the face, and he told me, he said, you know, I don't know what to tell you about your situation. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, you study the word more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, I think he even studied David, you know what I'm saying? Bathsheba, yeah, right. And Solomon. We're reading from Solomon. We're reading from David's second son's book, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? Solomon Proverbs.
You know, I'm
his,
like,
first baby didn't make it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he tried and cried out to God and all that. It's like, this is, we are all flawed. Who are we? You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. Go ahead. But yeah.
But you know, he told me he didn't know what to tell me. And
he probably being truthful. He never had relationship. All he has is an organization. That if you do something wrong in an organization, because you'll make the organization look bad.
Yeah.
Then you got to shun it. But the thing about family is, it's your son no matter what happens.
Exactly.
That's my boy. We're hoping he turns around. That's my girl. You know, everybody knows that's so-and-so's son. And so you can never disown a son. And you can never disown a daughter. But an organization can disown you in a heartbeat.
And that's it. You know, I mean, you know, and it was an entire year that went by where he couldn't even look me square in the face. I'm like, you the same person that told me, yeah, you can make it.
Right.
And you're going to do big things. God's going to do big things. He's going to do, you know, this is the same fella, you know, right. But, you know, in this time period, you know, where I'm growing and I'm still being mm-hmm. nurtured in Christ, you know.
And you have to be empathetic towards the situation is that's actually how he was trained. That's probably all he knows. He knows that if he was to do and make those kind of mistakes, that's exactly how he would be treated. And by the way, you know, as I've, you know, grown in the Lord and seen, you know, different organizations who, any of men, we want to put something, some format, apostolic foundation together to help people, but we can never lift that over God's grace and God's mercy. I always say that we need just enough government that if God was to back up from it, it would fall apart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the organization, all of a sudden we start protecting the organization and killing the people, you know?
Yeah, I'm sitting there, I'm looking like, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm drawing from you, you know what I'm saying, as part of my fellowship, as part of my family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At the time, I kid you not, walked in the man's office, I need somebody to help me stay accountable.
Right.
Okay, well, you can call me, you know, once a week, call, no answer. Call, no answer. Leave a message, call, no answer. I'm like, what do you have a phone for? You know? I mean, you told me to call you
right.
to help stay accountable. And to you know, talk to you and to get strong in the Lord, but you're not there, right. you know. But in this time period, you know, it was incidents like that with just.
Well, you think maybe he was really referring to getting strong in the organization, not strong in the Lord. I mean, seriously, what, right? Yeah. Because in the organization, you didn't meet that organization's, you know, you made a mistake. You sinned, but God forgave you, like you forgave me, like he forgives everybody that's listening. And then at that point, he restores us, and he remembers it no more. And so Jesus said, if I've forgiven them, you forgive them, and let's move on. Let's move on past that situation. And a lot of mistakes we make is because, you know, the one that was supposed to be speaking in my life was not doing, and if they would have been speaking to me, I would have made a lot less mistakes. If in love, you know, not a teacher situation, but in a love situation, then I would have received from you because I knew that you cared about me and that you were speaking truth into me. And, yeah, but that happened, yeah. But he probably was more in the mindset of protecting the organization because, you know, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to him. And so he would send it differently if he was looking from the other viewpoint of he'll be held accountable for how he treated that situation. Because you were seeking humility. You were seeking accountability. You weren't saying, I'm gonna rebel against this. You weren't doing that. You were desperately crying out for help.
See, in my heart, I understood Jesus. I didn't understand organization. Yeah. Where I come from, you know, we just either you go to church, you do what you're supposed to do, or you're not. Everything's right. black and white. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I grew up to really view things. Mm-hmm. Either it is or it isn't.
Right.
So, you know, just that whole entire experience, man, it taught me to grasp on to Jesus, man, and that, you know, people are gonna come and go. You know what I'm saying? But God and God's family is here forever. You know family when you see them.
Right.
You know, my mom, she has certain.
You feel family when you see them. You can feel it. You know it. And you also know when it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's certain people that you can't let in the door because they're not family.
That's right.
You know? And then there are those that you know them immediately when you see them. Yeah, that's family.
Right.
You know, and through this whole experience, I mean, there was another incident that happened.
You gotta get this. I want you to listen to this incident. It is shocking. It'll probably be shocking to you, but it's not shocking to a lot of people who've experienced this. And this is a serious indictment to the church. And a lot of the church today is speaking against the president of the United States when the church is doing exactly what he's about to talk about. And the Lord would say, who are you to say a thing about this president when this is exactly what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But, you know, a year prior to this, you know, I'm still going through family issues, you know, for almost 2 years straight. You know, every sermon that's being preached is going right over my head. Nobody's connecting with me. Mm-hmm. Nobody's speaking to me. Nobody's following up on me. Nobody's asking me, hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? Mm-hmm. You know, nobody knew anything, you know, but, you know, here it comes, you know, I was sitting behind, I was here at a, you know, regular old Wednesday night Bible study. You know, I've been sitting behind, you know, this particular person for almost 5 years straight.
No, wait a minute, You got pews, right? These like wooden pews. So you're actually separated by a pew, which is like, what, about 10 inches?
Yeah.
And for 5 years, you sat behind this lady.
Yeah. Hands in the air, you know.
You're both worshiping the same Jesus.
Same Jesus, bringing the same Bibles.
Same message under the same teaching.
Yeah. In the same house, you know, and you know, I'm pacing, you know, in the parking lot, and praying.
Wait, actually, falling on the same floor under the power of God.
Hey, yeah,
by each other, right?
Under the same Holy Ghost.
The same Holy Ghost.
You know, and Yeah, I am. You know, I'm in the parking lot. I'm pacing back and forth. You know, I'm praying. This is my
You're in the parking
routine.
Lot of this, your church gathering place where y'all gather at.
Yeah.
The building.
And, yeah, the parking lot of the building. Of the church or the building. Mm-hmm. You know, and here it is, you know, patrol car.
You're passing back and forth praying.
Yeah.
5 years you've been going to this church. You're part of the family. You're part of the organization, but you're finding out. You thought you were part of the family, but you're finding out you're about to be part of the organization. But go ahead.
But, you know, patrol car pulls up, you know.
What's the race of this particular lady that was sitting in front of you?
It's white.
Okay.
You know, and, you know.
And what's your race?
Black.
Okay.
African American. Okay. You know, but.
Well, they need to know the context of what's happening here.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, patrol car comes up, you know, and we got a call that you were looking into people's cars and somebody was thinking that, you know, you were trying to break in.
Derek, no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I am so embarrassed.
Yeah.
I am so embarrassed. So your church.
Yeah.
Who called? Who's the one that called? The Sheriff's Department.
The same lady that I sat behind for 5 years.
5 years.
Long years.
No, you got to understand now. You got to understand that Derek is not 4 feet tall.
Uh-uh.
He is 6 feet four.
Yeah, 6'4".
6 feet four, 180 pounds. No, a little Josh in there. But think about this. He's 6 feet 4 inches.
Yeah.
He's sitting behind her and in the presence of the body. I'm telling you, this traditional expression that we ended up in does not work. I've been there. I taught there. I've tried to connect there. You don't know the person sitting beside you and that you are missing Jesus. They called the police on Derek.
Yeah.
They called the very same lady who, oh my, I'm just, and I know there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
I'm just, this is, you're just so merciful. And you are so graceful, and I'm amazed at the people of color who are gracious towards others in the church who do such things and how merciful and forgiving people of color are. It's just like, oh, my goodness. Well, some people get so offended, and I understand.
Yeah.
I understand why they would get offended. And so they, this, but thank the Lord for, you know, the family because – something happened. You know, you actually were part of a true family.
Yeah.
That and it was the family outside the building.
Yeah.
That when they called the sheriff's department to report you, because you must have been looking into somebody's windows.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, what car do I want to steal? I only live like four blocks from the church.
It's really embarrassing, but it's true. And we cannot. This is. I'm telling you. Don't think this is an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we gotta get, you know, John talking about. One time he's going to put on, he's like, what are you doing? And we'll talk about it in the future. But, you know, this spirit of racism has got to be repented for. It's evil. And who are you to speak against our president when you have a racist spirit and you have not repented for that? And first of all, Jesus is not white.
Right.
Shocker. Okay. Okay. So then what happened? A police officer shows up.
You know, he shows up and he said, you know, we got a call. And, you know, he's peeping at me. He's like, hey. Derek, I didn't know that was you. Hey, man, we seen you at the, you know, the next step, father son camera.
Isn't that cool? Oh, my goodness.
You know him.
So he actually was part of the family. He actually went to the next step, father son camera trip, too.
Yeah. And what's funny is, like, the ushers and other members that knew me had to actually go up and tell her, say, he sits right behind you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. You know, that's Derek.
Right.
He sits right next to you. You didn't know that was him? I mean, right. Why were you calling?
Right.
He goes it. He's been here for 5 years. They explained this to him.
Right.
Didn't know who I was from a can of paint.
But the police officer who actually was part of the Next Step Father and Son camping trips with us.
Wow. See me one time.
God. Uh-huh.
One time.
Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful on the outside, but the inside of the building will kill you, can't it?
Yeah.
We're coming to the end, believe it or not, the first hour. We are going to be coming to the extra. I got to hear us. We got so much more to talk about. Thank you for those that joined us in the first hour on VFN Radio. Join myself and Pat and Derek in the extra hour today. We have a lot more to share. God bless.